Hi, this is Andrew Middleton here, and welcome again to the Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Higher Education podcast from Sheffield Hallam University. In this episode, I talk to Susanna Diamond from the Learning and Teaching Institute at Sheffield Hallam University about portfolios. If we just look at the definition that you presented the other day, Susanna, which was electronic portfolios are digital presentations of meaningful and contextualized collections of assorted content. You threw that idea up at the beginning of the seminar the other day. Have you had any thoughts on it since, or did anything come up to refine that further?
No, that seemed to stand pretty well as a definition, and we illustrated that with a few case studies. But there were a couple of points that were made, and one that was that an important dimension to portfolios is the potential for collaboration, for sharing. And that's in there to a certain extent, where we're talking about presentations, but maybe just presents an opportunity to consider.
Right, so you're saying that the word collaborations came up as something that might not be well enough represented in this definition. Mm. So could you explain how that would work then?
Well, actually, maybe I ought to consider the potential uses for portfolios. I outlined in the seminar that there were perhaps five major uses. That's assessment, learning, presentation, personal development, and just as a working environment. And maybe that's where the collaboration component can come in, that it's another use for portfolios. But it was one that I hadn't really considered to be very important before.
Okay, so actually that seems a lot more useful to me, that this definition gets you started to think about an e-portfolio as being a digital presentation. But once you actually start to look at its application under those five headings, that's where you really need to move to quickly if you're considering digital portfolios.
Mm.
So
yeah, the purpose that you use them for is really what's interesting.
Yeah.
And in fact, another thing came out of the seminar, and that was the use of portfolios to provide evidence for claims. Now, in a sense, I kind of consider that under personal presentation, really, and possibly personal development. But again, that was something that somebody else thought was very, very important.
Can you explain that?
Well, in a sense, if we say that portfolios are collections of meaningful items, some of those could be evidence, so a certificate, a piece of video showing that you've done something, that you could use to provide evidence for a claim. So that's one way in which portfolios can be used.
One of the other things that I've come to realise, you know, since that seminar last week, was the distinction between portfolios and PDP, personal development planning. How would you express that?
I suppose I see it as a bit of a Venn diagram. So you have two circles that overlap in the middle. So you can do PDP, personal development planning, without making use of portfolios as an environment in which to do it. But portfolios may be a useful working environment in which to carry out personal development planning. Similarly, you can use portfolios for these other purposes, just for learning, for assessment, for presentation, without necessarily using them for any kind of personal development.
I think that's quite clear. And I sort of had this image of a portfolio as being a repository, as some people called it a bin, I think, in the session. Mm-hmm. And in your definition, you've used the word collection. So it's almost an unshaped collection of stuff that can be probably anything that you want to represent at some point in time. So given that repository, the mental image that I conjured up was that you could render various versions from that resource pot, from that repository, and PDP or ePDP would be one area of representation.
Mm. Oddly enough, I would see the portfolios as that sharing, that presentation, and you would draw on a repository of items, content, to do so. But that, until you've purposed that presentation. You haven't created a portfolio, you've got a collection. It's making that presentation that is synonymous to making a portfolio.
Right, okay. So what is happening already at Sheffield Hallam?
Well, for the last year or so, we've been offering an extension to Blackboard so that students can use that firstly to build up that repository of materials and then create portfolios for any purpose that they want. And that Blackboard system is being used in a couple of subject areas. So sports science is one, languages is another, and if other academic tutors are interested, they are welcome to contact me. But there are also some new tools that are coming online, so social networking tools, and we are starting a new initiative to see what use students would make of these tools if offered the chance to use them for portfolios.
Is there any connection between university regulations and portfolios at the moment?
Certainly the university has a commitment to put something in place for personal development planning. But that's a mixture of the support from academic tutors, from careers tutors, and there are online materials to help support that. Now, portfolios would be a really good addition to that support for personal development planning, but it's not in any way something that we are required to provide.
Right. And how important is technology to portfolios?
Oh, well, obviously, you can create a portfolio on paper, and that's been done very traditionally in many disciplines. Also, students are often asked to fill in, say, a handbook which represents a portfolio, so they fill in what they've done. So the technology isn't essential, but it is an enabler. It enables students to share things more easily with their peers, with people outside the university for comment. And so it is a more portable way of doing portfolios, where they can send out a portfolio to act as a virtual presence. They don't have to be there to explain the portfolio. They can use a text commentary or an audio commentary to explain it in their absence.
Right, so yes, again, the digital world basically gives us a new layer of flexibility. And where do you think we're headed? I mean, you've talked about this project for looking at some of these online tools, these social networking tools.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that might change in the coming years. And some of them might well be caused by these new technologies, and others will affect how we use the technologies. So the things I've noted are simply the concept that we give students more choice in terms of how they choose projects in which to demonstrate their learning. There's a greater emphasis on employability. There's increasing flexibility in how we store and share materials generally. There's a sense that of blurring of private and public identities that's happening with the social networking online, and that may also be an issue with portfolios if we're asking students to do very personal reflection, but then we're also wanting to assess that in a public way.
Right, well, it sounds like a very interesting time, and we'll have to come back and consider these questions again later. Thank you very much. If you have any ideas you'd like to discuss in this podcast, please do contact me. You can email me at lta-podcast@shu.ac.uk. If you'd like to find out more about what has been discussed, you can go to the show notes website, which is http://ltapodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you for joining me.